Thank you, Brother James. Strange, I did live in Omagh for 10 years, but I never got to meet James. But I did know his sister, Denise. George Watson, who was a great friend of Ian Paisley's, when he left school, Ian Paisley came to work on two farms at Six Mile Cross, Bob Kyle's and George Watson's. And Watson and I shared a Bible study. He would take it 1 week and do the Psalms, and I took it the next week and I would do 1 Corinthians. And James's sister, Denise, used to come to that Bible study. I haven't seen her since those days. You know of the Irish man whose sister gave birth to twins. And one day he was met by a friend and he inquired, "What is your sister going to call the twins?" So he said, "I think one of them is the nephew and I think the other is Denise." Well, that's broken the ice, hasn't it? What a beautiful building you have. And I want to commend and congratulate the members of the church here in this lovely place to worship the Lord in. My, you must be a very rich church in Market Hill. Brother, if you ever want a curate, you know where to come. Right, let's get into the testimony. I have a good friend who was a pipe major in the British Army, one of the top pipers of the Army in his day, and a member of the Pibroch. The pipers will understand that. But he sent me one time on tape a tape of 1,000 drummers from the Pakistan Army. And he did a commentary on it. He said, 1,000 pipers all squeezed in to one tiny little microphone. Well, I feel a bit like that tonight. 63 years ago, as a young boy, the Lord saved me. And I'm going to try to squeeze 63 years into the rest of this meeting. There's no clock, so I'll not know when to stop. But anyway, let's get right into it. Our brother has said, "I'm a Tyrone man, land of Owen O'Neill." If you don't know your history, I'll give you a bit of it. "For when I woke in the morning, and if I cared to look out through my bedroom window, I was looking at Tully Hog, the hill of the youth, the crowning place of the O'Neills of Ulster. But it didn't mean that to me, for Tully Hog was where my people came to when they had left Ulster, went to Scotland, and then returned at the time of the first plantation of Ulster with the Lindsays of Lochry and set up home at Tully Hog. It was there in my grandfather's house that the first Orange Lodge in Cookstown District met." So I think when you come to think of how the Lord worked in your life, these things are important. These things shape you and make you. I come from what was a soldiering family. My grandfather was a soldier. My great-grandfather was a soldier. And I don't know what relation it was, but my grandfather used to say, every major battle, from the Battle of Waterloo until the end of the last war, there was always one of the family there. My father had a brother, a brother-in-law, and 9 cousins who all fought in the last war. My grandfather had served with the Inniskillens in India. When the regiment or battalion was there, the Northwest Frontier Rising took part, and so he was in that. The battalion didn't get home from India. They went straight to the Boer War. And then when the First World War took place, my grandfather was in that too. He had a string of medals across his breast. When the Second World War started, he volunteered to go again. And there's a letter which I have in my possession thanking him for his offer of service. But under existing regulations, he was over the age limit. Signed, the war minister. That's a bit of the background. That's where I'm coming from. And I'm glad of that too, because in Ulster, we have a wonderful Protestant heritage. I'm not ashamed of that. But you know, you could have that wonderful Protestant heritage and die and go to hell. And while I was brought up in that, it didn't save me. But when I was just 2 years of age, my sister, who's just a little over a year older than I am, she started to attend a little Brethren Sunday school at the south end of Cookstown, where I was brought up. As you come into Cookstown, there's a bridge over the Ballanderry River. And at one time, there was a little First World War Army hut. And that was Kingsbridge Gospel Hall Sunday School. 130 of us went there every Sunday afternoon to hear the gospel being preached. My sister took me one time when I was just 2 years of age. This is not a prayer book that I brought along tonight. This is my first Bible. And on the front of it says, to Alfie Mullen, because some people called my grandfather Alfie, but he was Alvin. And I'm Alvin the Third. I have an uncle Alvin, I have a son Alvin, and my grandfather was Alvin. To Alfie Mullen, Consolation Prize, 1942. I was only 2 years of age when the brethren put a Bible into my hand. We've had a Reformation weekend in Caish, and Dr. Cairns has been preaching there on the Reformation, and last night he dwelt on the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired. It means it is God-breathed. It's a living Word. And those of us who have been called to preach the gospel, that is our task, to preach the word. I've never gone in for making long appeals after the meeting. I've always felt that when the preacher preaches the word, he can sit down and close the meeting and go home and put his 2 feet on the mantelpiece if he wants to. Because the word is a living word. I remember taking a mission, I'm going off the track a wee bit, but just to get this into every believer and every soul in this meeting tonight. I took a mission at a place called Cools in Fermanagh. I've done 23 missions in different parts of Fermanagh, all a month long, and some of them I preached every night myself. But I closed the mission, and I didn't know if anybody had come to the Lord. One time when I was visiting for another mission, I called at this house, and the woman, realizing who I was, said, I think my husband would like to talk to you. And so she brought me in. He belonged to the brethren. He said, did you have a mission at Cools? I said, that's right. He said, you know, I got saved at a mission that the Faith Mission had at Cools 50 years ago. And I've prayed since then that the Lord would send somebody back to my part of Fermanagh and preach the gospel. And if there wouldn't be someone go to preach the gospel, that someone would visit all the houses with tracts. I said, well, I did that. Well, he said, you're an answer to my prayers. But 6 months afterwards, I was talking to Dr. Rutledge. She used to practice in Fermanagh. She said, I heard about somebody getting saved at a mission you had. I said, I don't know who that is. But a year later, Hugh Moon, who was a CEF worker in Fermanagh, called at the house. He said, I'm just after leaving Mrs. Buchanan's. She said she got saved after hearing you preach at her aunt's funeral. And I was requested to speak at her aunt's funeral because she had attended that mission at Cools. A year after she trusted Christ, her husband trusted Christ. And the last time that I spoke to her husband, he said to me, you know what the score is now? 31 people in our family connection have come to the Lord. That's not the power of the preacher. That's the power of the Word of God. And so I want you to get hold of that. You believers in this meeting, preach the Word. I know that James does that. I don't have to tell him. But don't you be afraid to preach the word, to drop a verse of scripture in, because it's a living word. And it will accomplish that which God pleases and prosper in the thing whereto is sent it. Well, I'd better get back on the track again. 2 years of age, the word of God has been placed in my heart. My mother was a backslider. She was a foundation member of the Baptist Church in Cough in County Tyrone. Then she met my father, and she married him, and she backslid. And this old book says the way of the backslider is hard. And I know the truth of that words, those words, from experience. My father was good to us, but the old booze got the upper hand. And he would come home Friday night, Saturday night, drunk. When he had drink in him, he was a different man. And many a night he wrecked the place. Oh, young friend in this meeting tonight, if you could see a person, you go home and bow before the Lord and thank him for parents that are saved. What a privilege to be brought up in a Christian home. Wasn't like that for me. But in 1947 or thereabouts, my mother came back to the Lord again. And of course, when somebody backslides and they come back to the Lord, he'll receive them again. and she started to live for the Lord in our home. And of course, I was still going to Sunday school, Church of Ireland in the morning, one true church that owned Ireland and the Isles of Ireland. But I had a Sunday school teacher who knew the Lord, and she taught me the gospel. And then I went to those brethren's Sunday schools. My, they didn't mince words. We were taught there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And as a young boy, I used to talk to my mother when she came back to the Lord. I used to talk to her about being saved, but I couldn't grasp it. I couldn't really grasp it. Then one night, about 3 years before I came to the Lord, it must have been around about 1951, my sister went to a gospel mission conducted by Victor McManus. Some of you might have heard Victor McManus. Was the first gospel mission she ever went to. And she came in that night. I can still picture it yet. She came through the little inside door into the kitchen and she opened it and she said, "Mommy, I got saved tonight." Nothing sweeter could come from a human lips to say, "I got saved tonight." So there's two in the house now. 3 years after that, 1954, David Shepherd, a Welsh evangelist, came to conduct gospel meetings in the new town hall in Cookstown. Shepherd had a wonderful gift of song. He played an accordion, and the place was packed night after night after night. There must have been about 400, maybe 500 people in every night. And the last Friday night of that first week, he preached from Daniel chapter 5, verse 27. You know the story, the writing on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Numbering, numbering, weighing and dividing. Numbering, numbering, weighed and divided. Before Daniel finished his interpretation of the dream, Babylon had fallen, and Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, had fallen with it. And he came out, and he imagined for us a large balance at the front of the building, weighing. And on one side, he would place the law of God right through the commandments, and then put us on. Weighed and found wanting. Friends, if you were to be weighed in God's balance tonight, how would you do? And then, before he finished, he said, "How can you be weighed in the balances and not found wanting?" And the way he put it was, ask Christ to come on the balance with you. There's no want. That, in a sense, is the gospel, isn't it? Because my sins, even as a boy, those sins were taking me straight to hell. But I took a look at the Christ of the cross that night, and I accepted what he had done for me as being enough to save my soul and to bring me to heaven. I was only a boy of 13 years of age. That's the Friday night. I didn't say anything to anybody what I'd done. And the Saturday went by. And then the Sunday afternoon, we were talking together in the house, and my mother said, "Would you not like to be saved?" I said, "I am saved." She said, "When did you get saved?" "I trusted the Lord as my Savior on Friday night." My, it's a great thing when a child comes to the Lord. I think it was Ironside who came home from a meeting one night, and somebody asked him how many got saved in the meeting tonight. He said, 4 men and 2 children. But he counted it more worthwhile that 2 children had got saved, because they had a whole life to live for the Lord. I know the Lord will take you in no matter what age you are. But am I talking to some young person in this meeting, and you are just at the stage where I was? You're young, you know the gospel, you know you need to be saved, and you've never taken that step of faith. Will you take it tonight? Put your trust in Christ as Savior. Well, that's what I did. And then we began to pray in the house, and the believers in the town began to pray for Billy Mullen. My father was a Billy boy. And Marshall Shallis, who worked with the National Young Life Campaign, he came 3 years after I got saved. He came to hold the mission in the town hall. Marshall Shallis was the son of missionary parents who had come to the Lord at 4 years of age. They're not too young, you know, to come to the Lord. He came at 4 years of age, and he became a preacher, an evangelist. Shepherd told me one time they had nicknames on each other, and Shallis was called Shally. He said, "We had these meetings where we met together and reported on our missions, and we'd say to Shally, 'Well, how did you get on your last meeting?' 'No, not too bad.' 'Well, is there anybody saved?' 'Well, the local solicitor got saved, and the headmaster of the school got saved, and the minister got saved.' And, you know, not too bad, not too much." That was Shallis. He came to preach. And we were praying early morning prayer meetings in the bakery. All the boys from the bacon factory that were saved, they came in at 7 o'clock and left in time to go down to the factory and start at 7:30. The rest of us prayed on to about 8 o'clock. What prayer meetings those were. My sister used to pray like this: "Dear Lord, save my daddy." And everywhere Marshall Shallis went after that, he told the people, "Pray for people by name. Pray for them by name." And he told them about the little Irish girl who prayed for her daddy. Because that's what the Lord did. He saved him. Last night of the mission came, and there was one man in the town, we'd call him a pillar among the believers. And I could see him making a beeline for my father and talking to him. And we came out and we wondered, would this be the night? But my father came out and he'd made no decision for Christ, nothing. We came home shattered. Our faith was small. Next, that was the 17th of March. Next morning, I came down for breakfast. My father was an early riser. You'd have him up in the morning at 5:30. He was always at work 1/2 hour before the time. That was his style. We came down for breakfast. My sister was down. My mother was there. She said, I have something to tell you. I trusted Christ as my Savior at my bedside last night. I kneeled and asked him to save me. Now, he said, I don't know how this will work out. I was off cigarettes for one time. It was for 6 months. It was 6 months of hell. I might be a bit awkward to get on with. I might be able to manage the drink, he says. But I might be a bit difficult to get on with. I want you to bear with me. He wasn't difficult to get on with. He never smoked another cigarette. He never took another drink. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You in this meeting tonight, something in your life that's destroying you, that'll bring you to hell, I want to tell you tonight and to highlight this. The gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins is the power of God. It's a great word in the original Greek, dunamis. From that we get a few English words, dynamite, dynamo. It's the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Father came to know the Lord on the 17th of March, 1957. I always felt the Lord had a sense of humor that he saved a billy boy on the 17th of March. Some people give my dad 2 weeks. Some said the 12th of July. Some said Christmas. They didn't say which Christmas. For my dad never smoked again, never drank again. Ah, well, he was drinking at the fountainhead, and he was satisfied. I remember one morning, after he'd been saved about 2 years, and we're walking up that big long street, Cookstown, and Harry Eastwood, who owned the Dunleith Bar, is standing at the door of the pub. And we'd just gone by when he said, Hi, Billy, I want to talk to you. My father went back. He said, there's a big debate on here last night about how long you're off the drink and how long Thompson was off the drink. See, Billy Thompson was my father's pal at school. They remained pals all their life. Thompson had fought in the Second World War. In North Africa, he'd been through the thick of it. And at the mission where I got saved, Thompson had come to know the Savior too. And he said, some said, you were only off the drink 2 years. Long's Thompson off it now? Oh, he says, Thompson's off the drink 5 years now. And he says, I thought you were off longer. Good man, listen to this. This is from the publican. Good man, Billy. Never let anybody put you on a drink again. If I had a medal to pin on anybody, I'd pin it on men like you. Oh, the Lord has a great sense of humor, hasn't he? He makes fools of them. Well, that's 1957. And I'm still trusting the Lord, still going to the prayer meetings. In those days, when you got saved, you were expected to be at the prayer meeting. And although I was still at school for part of that time, I was at the prayer meeting. My sister was at the prayer meeting. And it wasn't just the prayer meeting in the Baptist church. And that was a Tuesday night. We went on a Thursday night to the Faith Mission Prayer Union to pray with them. And some of us young fellas hadn't enough of that. We hired a room of the Presbyterian Church above the stables. And we met on a Friday night to pray, or Saturday night to pray after the youth meeting. Young believer, you are not getting anywhere in your Christian life if you don't pray. And I look around today and I see in the churches, it's the old people that are into pray, and the young people are not there. Get down to praying. Get down to praying. Because God hears and God answers prayer. Just come to me there when I talked about those 31 who could see it. You've all heard the terrible story of the dentist who, along with another man's wife, murdered a man, Constable Buchanan. That's one of the men of the Buchanan line who could save it after that we missioned Kools. My God is sovereign. He might take his life from him, but they couldn't take eternal life from him. He's absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, I want to get that across to you tonight. And when I was about 17, I was so thankful to the Lord that he had saved my father. I loved him. Even those nights when he wrecked the place, I loved him. And I began to get interested in the challenge of seeking first the kingdom of God. I didn't like school. I left school when I was 14. I was a dunce in school, because when I was in fourth class, at the Christmas exams, I was second in the class. And so the headmaster decided that I'd done long enough and on with a few others, long enough in fourth class, and he put me into fifth class. And I did 6 months in fifth class and then went into sixth. And when I was in fifth class, I could have done what was called the qualifying. I could have done it when I was in sixth class. And I could have done it when I was in the headmaster's class in seventh. But I didn't want to do it. And this is something that I want to say to you parents in the meeting. My dad had gone the same way. He battled it out with one girl. One time he'd be first, he'd be second. Then he'd be first and she'd be second. She became a school teacher. But he left school in the hungry 30s. And there wasn't much money for anybody. He got a job helping on a bread cart for 5 shillings a week. And when he got enough money, his brother took it over. And when he got enough money to have enough stamps on, then he handed it over to his cousin. So he just didn't have a chance in those days. He was either join the army or go way off to England. But I didn't want to stay at school. I said, I will go to the tech. And in Cookstown in those days, the technical school only did a commercial course. I didn't want that. I wanted to work with my hands. So I did the exam for the technical college in Machrefeld. And the maths paper gave us 1 hour. I had the paper finished in 10 minutes. I had 100% to at that, but I want to work my hands. And so at 14, not quite 15, I couldn't start my time serving my apprenticeship until I was 16, because in those days you couldn't be out of your time until you were a man, and you weren't a man until you were 21. So I started and I worked, but those first year and a few months didn't count. And the Lord was blessing me, and I was seeking to put him first. even when I was attending a course on electricity at night. The Lord challenged me about that. This faith mission came. You know, the wee girls in those days with the bonnets. And God blessed them. They did a great work in Ulster. And they were having a wee mission at a place called Lindsayville, not far from Cookstown. And I decided I'd give them whatever support I could. And one night I arrived in a little room, downstairs room, where they were praying. And it was just the two pilgrims. And there wasn't to be a prayer meeting that night. It was children's night, so they weren't having a prayer meeting. Just straight into the meeting. And one of them asked me a question. Do you belong to a prayer meeting, prayer union? And I said, I used to go to Cookstown, but I have a night class on a Thursday night now. She just said this, a night class, yes. And those words haunted me. A night class, yes. If I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, can I forget about the prayer meeting? So I came to a point where I said I wasn't going back to this electricity course. I was going to put God first. Now I want to be careful. God may not bring you the way he brought me. And you be careful. But this is the way he brought me. Just when I was finishing my apprenticeship, the boss came to me one day. He said, there's a job coming up on the electricity board. And if you want it, I can get it for you. Be better wages, better conditions than I could give you. But I can get it for you. And he said, if you want to try it and you don't like it, there will always be a place for you here. So you can't win, sure you can't. So I took the job. And I worked with the tools. And I did it at what we called in those days rural canvas on a 175 BSA bottom up through the Spurn Mountains, seeing who was interested in electricity and meeting all these people. And when I looked back on it, what better training for pastoral work could you get? And then one day I came in and a senior clerk in the office says, things are looking up for you, boy, now. They're going to appoint another district foreman. And the boss was off sick at the time. So the boss wants you to call out of his house. He's going to offer it to you. And so I did that. And then there was a reorganization came in. And one day, the phone rang. The area manager is on the other end of the line. He said, could you come up to Oma? Want to talk to you. And I said I could. And up he said, look, you've seen this advertisement for this job? I said, yes, I have. Well, he said, we had one man applied that we would have been happy with, but he's withdrawn. And we don't know about the other boys, but I want you to take the job. Listen, friend. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all that the Gentiles seek after, all these things shall be added unto you. God is faithful. He will never break his word. When I was 18, after coming to a place where I said the Lord would have all of me, and remember, there are two natures in the child of God. There's an old nature that we got from Adam and will always be there until we receive our new bodies. And there's a new nature, and there's very often the old nature comes out top. That's not because God cannot give us victory. because of ourselves, but I sought to give the Lord the first place. I did that job. All the electricians and the electricity board in Fermanagh and Tyrone were under my control. Did that job. We had a lot of trouble with meter interference in Republican areas. Area manager called me in one day, said, I was at a meeting yesterday at headquarters. We have to sort out this meter problem, and I want you to do it. And I did it. Crime detection rate for Pomroy went up by 200%. It was dangerous work, but we did it. We'd cover all the time. The boys didn't know it, but I had the DMSU covering all the time they were working. But I never told them that. And then one day a letter arrived. I'd started to try and preach when I was 18 years of age. And invitations came to preach all over the country. I preached a good bit around East Tyrone into South Londonderry, way up at Portrush, Limavady, Londonderry, and all these places. And then I moved to Omagh. And that end of the country opened up. And before I came into full-time service, I'd preached 130 times that year. And I was still holding down a full-time job with the electricity service. And one day, a letter arrived in a Skilling Baptist church inviting me to become the pastor. Well, we had, at that time, we had three boys. One of them we adopted. And I said to my wife, and I want to bring this in now. I always believed that if God had a woman for me, that even if I had to go to China, she'd be there for me. And you young people, you get down to praying about a partner in life. You make that a matter of prayer and trust God. Don't run around the country. Just trust the Lord. And the Lord got me a good one. She's with me tonight. She was a nurse trained in the city. That's where all good nurses are trained. I'll not tell you the rest about it, but because I'd maybe get stoned out of Market Hill tonight. But she trained in the city. And we set up the wee home in Cookstown, moved to Omagh, and now here's maybe one of the biggest challenges, because I was in good money. And I'm going to come to Enniskillen and pastor the work for less than half of what I was on. And I said to Helen, what do you say? She said, where you go, I go. That's the kind of partner you young people need. And I want to tell you, God give me a good partner. And she worked hard in the church, playing the organ, playing at missions, children's work, and working through the day. And then we got a boy when we went to another boy when we went to home. There were four boys. And the lad that we adopted, Richard, one day we're in the house and the ring came to the door. It was Sam Bammer, his brother-in-law, brethren. My wife says, something's happened, Richard. He said, he's been in an accident. Richard was killed. Lorry overturned at the Moira roundabout. Load shift, they said. So I know all about these things, you know. I've been there. Buried him. But God is always faithful, ever near to bless and cheer in the darkest hour. When I'm tempted, I can feel his power. At his side, I'll abide till travelling days are done. And then at last, the glory, the glory. Well, I went to Enniskillen, and before I got to Enniskillen, the phone rang one night. It was Secretary of Londonderry Baptist Church. Want to know, will you allow your name to go forward for pastor of the Fountain Baptist Church in Londonderry? I said, brother, I've already got a letter from Enniskillen. And then when that was all going on, I got a phone call from Jim McCormack, Killicumean Baptist Church. Brother, will you allow your name to go forward to be the pastor in Killicumean? I said, I've already got a letter from Enniskillen, I'm going. But, well, the Lord was sort of just confirming to somebody that was wondering, you know. It's a big step. So I did 30 years with the Baptists. I'll not go into a lot of detail, but I've seen a denomination that I loved and that I served in the name of the Lord. I've seen that denomination that had some of the finest preachers you could ever hear. I've seen it depart from the old truths that make churches great. And I stayed on a little while with them, and things weren't going well, and things weren't been done right. And when things are not been done right, you just don't toady along with it. I challenged it, and they weren't prepared to do anything about it. So I said, well, that's it. And when they start to tell lies about me, it's time to move on. So I've been with the Free Presbyterians. We floated around a bit, went to some of the smaller works in Fermanagh, and then we started to go to Case. Case is a small work. Brother Robinson's a faithful brother, and we felt that the Lord was leading us just to stay with them and be whatever encouragement we can. You know, let me talk to those of you who are in membership here. I know James, know his connection, and I know something of the work that he did when he was over in Convoy. The other night, Jackie said, you know Jackie Anderson, and he sends greetings. Jackie said, James was a great worker. The work that man did in Donegal. But James is a man, subject to like passions. Any of us, you stand with him, back him. Be in a prayer meeting. Be in a gospel meeting. I was talking to a brother the other day, and he talked about ministering at a very small church and wondering, will there be anybody in the day? And going along, and he said one couple would always be there, but there would be just the rare occasion when they wouldn't be there, and nobody turned up for the meeting. Stand together. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You have no clock, so don't blame me. I could go on for the next hour. I'm going to finish soon. But I do want to get this across. I went to a church that was divided. There were those who wanted to hold the line, the scriptural line, and they were those who wanted to bring in a whole lot of young stuff for the young people, and I wasn't going that way. Because I was brought up on this book and prayer. That's all the old boys give me. Word of God and prayer. Go out and live for the Lord. And then the squeeze started to go on because I wouldn't go the way they would go. And the best way to make a pastor sit up is we not pay any money into the church. So one night, I met the treasurer and I said, "What's the situation?" He said, "Brother, it's just about half coming in that's needed to pay your wages. What do you do when you have four boys and a wife and you've made your sacrifice and people are trying to starve you out the siege of Londonderry all over again? You just lean the harder on the Lord." And when all that was going on, you know, the Lord hasn't lost control. He hasn't lost control. Phone rang one day. And there was a man who lived away near the border, near Bleak. And he lived in a little tin-roofed house. Walls weren't much better than mud walls. And he rang me. He said, "You haven't been down our way for a while." I said, "That's right, Ernie." He said, "I've got some money for the Baptist church. And I want you to come down. I'll give it to you." I said, "Hold on a minute, Ernie. Hold on. He said, "Well, you were very good at visiting my mother and father when they were alive, and I have some money for the church." So I agreed to go down. And I thought in my heart, you know, if Ernie gives us £20, that'll be good. If he gives us £50, that'll be great. And if he gives us £100, it'll be out of this world. He was at work, so the arrangement was that I'd meet him in his house at dinner time. He took us dinner and we talked and I sat by the fire. And then he said, "I'll have to write out this wee check for I need to go back to work." And he handed me a check. And I read it and I had it on the tip of my tongue to say, "Ernie, you put a not too much here. A check for £1,000 when I needed it. It was my need." And shortly after that, and I'm going to finish, shortly after that, this wee man, a nifty wee man with a crown in his breast and brown boots on him, grey suit, he came into the gospel meeting. He was back the next week. Then he started to come to the prayer meeting. Then he started to attend morning meetings and applied for membership. His name was Dan. Dan Gallagher. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard the singer Bridie Gallagher. Bridie Gallagher, many people think she was born a Roman Catholic. Bridie Gallagher was born a Protestant, married a Roman Catholic. Old Dan had been a young fellow in Donegal in the days of the Black and Tans. He was supplying information about the IRA to the Black and Tans, and one night they got him and they had the gun at his head to shoot him. When one man said, "Boys, he's a bit old to shoot." So they give him a severe warning. And that night, Dan was on his way to County Fermanagh. Got work with a farmer, finished up marrying the farmer's daughter. And then the brethren came and had meetings in an old house. Sam Lewis was one of the preachers. And Dan got saved. One night he rang, he said to my wife answered the phone, said, "I'll not get to the meeting tonight, but tell the pastor I want him to come out after the meeting." And my wife, being the nurse, she knew. She said, look, Dan wants you out after the meeting, but I think you should go now. I think he's had a stroke. And so both of us went because I thought she'd be the best if he had a stroke. And with that, sure enough, he had a stroke. And I said, did you get the doctor, Dan? No, he says, no point ringing the doctor, wouldn't come out to me. I said, he come out all right. And my wife rang and the doctor was out in 10 minutes. And anyway, before we left that night, Dan said, I have money for the Baptist church. And I wasn't too happy because I thought, if I take money of this old man, the people say, Mullen went out and he took the money out of this old man and he wasn't well. And I tried everything I knew to wriggle out of it, but Dan said, no. Old Mr. McClintock, he was head of the agriculture in Fermanagh. I said, McClintock always said, give to the Lord's work when you're alive, not when you're dead. So I said, all right, Dan. And he walked over to this big set of antique drawers and he lifted out a pile of envelopes that height. And he put them in my hands. And when that was counted, it was £2,000. Listen, you believers, and you who are unsaved, I've got a great God and a great Saviour. He said he would supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I never saw it like that before. I've never seen it like that since. But when I needed it, it came. That's my God. That's my Saviour. I'm still trying to serve him. I've linked up with Brother Parr and Brother Maxwell, and we've had a few missions in Monaghan and in Cavan, and we've had one in Leitrim, and we're thinking of concentrating on Leitrim. Dark, dark county. But oh, just be serving the best. One that we could ever serve. The King of Glory. That's my Saviour. You're not saved tonight, you know. It's all there for you. And more. All there. Will you come tonight? Just open your heart to the inflow of grace. Take a look at the Christ of the cross. There's nobody loves you like the Saviour. Thanks for listening. Apologies, brother. Thank you.